Before we start the show, I want to thank the thousands of you, the thousands who have read This Book Will Make You Dangerous. Many of you have told me that the book's unique way of exploring fear, confidence, and purpose has had a lasting impact, that it's much easier for you to get clarity and direction about what really matters and what you want to do in this lifetime. It's also amazing to hear that quite a few of you have read it multiple times and even bought copies for friends. So thank you again. Just in case you weren't aware, I created a free companion video course for the book. And in these videos, I walk you through the big takeaways and practices from each chapter. And I even cover some extra stuff that's not included in the book. Information on how to access the course is in newer versions of the book. And if you own an older version of the book and you don't know how to access the course, just hit me up via the contact form at triplanier.com and we'll get you all set up. And one last thing, if you're one of the thousands who have already read the book, please consider leaving an honest review on Amazon so that others can decide if it's right for them. Again, thank you so much for reading This Book Will Make You Dangerous. And now let's start the show.
You are listening to The New Man Beyond the Macho Jerk and the New Age Wimp. Your host is men's coach and group facilitator, Trip Lanier. He is joined in the studio by the show's producer, Casey Capshaw.
What is the secret to successfully picking up women? What is inner game? And does being a pickup artist guarantee satisfaction? This week, we're back with Garrison Cohen, a veteran of the study and practice of seduction. He shows us where he is now in the search for true connection and deeper meaning from his relationships with women.
And that's when I started to look into the San Francisco Lair. And a lair, you could call it a club, could call it a group, they call it a lair. As a matter of fact, a lair is basically a den of pickup artists.
Okay. That doesn't sound scary to women.
Yeah,
where's
I know,
the lair?
I know,
let's really avoid that part of town.
I know. Let's go hang out at the pickup artist's den.
Yes, that would be
the lair. It's basically called a lair because it just sounds cool.
Was this an actual physical space, or was it like an online community? Or
it was an online community.
Okay,
and it was guys who had studied speed seduction, they had studied real social dynamics, they had studied hypnosis, and you know other forms of things that were going on at the time. And there wasn't a lot. There wasn't a ton going on out there. So guys were basically in a discussion group about all of this.
Mm-hmm.
But the hub of the San Francisco Lair at the time was located around Project SF, which if you've read the game, there was Project Hollywood, and then what sort of one of the, I'm not really sure the word of it, but some guys in San Francisco were inspired by that and created their own house in San Francisco called Project San Francisco.
So okay. The game is a book by Neil Strauss,
right?
About pickup.
Yeah.
That had to blow this whole thing wide open, I would think. That was a pretty popular book.
It really did. When I knew that book was starting to come out, I was a little nervous about it coming out because it was going to make all of this so mainstream that it wasn't going to be a select group of guys learning some special skills anymore. It was going to turn into this massive cookie cutter McDonald's thing that every guy would be busting out lines like he just ordered some French fries. And
that's what I'm always curious about is what the women's experience in town, you know, like, you know, for a while it's the occasional, some guy tells a story and the first time you hear the story for the third time in one night or something, you gotta be like, I'm freaking out. What are these guys doing here?
You know, how saturated did it get?
Quite.
Really?
Yeah. And I'll actually speak to that in a moment. That's kind of coming up next on the little journey here. So I checked out the San Francisco Lair a little bit, and I'm not really huge into doing a lot of posting online. But basically, the San Francisco community was starting to revolve around this one course in San Francisco called Pickup 101, which is led by Lance Mason.
Okay.
And so at the time, the course was so new that they actually had to they were only doing one course a month. And they had to cancel my course because they didn't have enough enrollment. So my course got pushed forward the next month. There was just a handful of guys in it. And basically, Lance had really developed a lot of this material himself. Mm. and had been working a long time on his own, and then had discovered Mystery Method and taken a course with Mystery, who I'd actually met Mystery. I'm sure you've heard of Mystery.
Yeah, he was on the he had a show on VH1 or right, something like that. Yeah. Okay,
I had met him when I was living in LA doing some speed seduction stuff, and I think it was even before he was Mystery. But we hung out with a mutual friend and had lunch, and he still had black fingernails and was doing little magician tricks at the table and all of that. It was kind of interesting to meet him then. Mm-hmm. But Lance had come back from his course and had learned a lot from that and was really seeing the possibilities of what he could do with his own material. And I was really impressed, because unlike the community that revolved around speed seduction, here were guys who were basically really good guys who wanted more in their lives. For the most part, most of the guys were pretty successful and would really just say, I just want to get this handled. I want to be comfortable talking to women. I want to have fun talking to women. I want to have a lot of girlfriends or date one woman I really like or find the woman I'm going to marry. And I just want to get this handled. Mm-hmm. And I really liked the guys who were in that community. The peacocking was toned down a little bit. We weren't like space Muppets anymore. It was more just sort of like
grunge rockers, maybe.
I don't know. Maybe more like cool pirates. You know, I'm thinking about some of the things that I wore, and some of the things that some of my friends wore as we were sort of going through that era where it was a little more.
Go ahead, do tell.
What's the craziest thing you kind of like would pull thing. Out?
You know, I just by natural selection, I seem to have some killer sideburns. So I'd kind of go with a little bit more of an Elvis theme sometimes.
Okay.
And I'd push that edge a little bit. And, you know, I'd go through a phase where I was going to stores and buying, you know, different shirts that were a little more edgy and noticeable. I never got too crazy, but I liked pushing the envelope a little bit.
Okay.
And I got to say, there was something really fun about having guy friends that actually were like, dude, great shirt. Let's go shopping together sometime.
And so we can get chicks.
Yeah. I mean, it was funny, you know? Right. I mean, back in Boston, you ask a guy if he'll go shopping with you, you know, going to get the poop kicked out of you.
Right.
I mean, it's just different, but it was fun. And one of the things I really liked about it was that there was a really positive male camaraderie, you know? And I think one of the things that started to make Pickup 101 successful was that it was really about guys supporting each other and having fun with each other.
So you were having some real camaraderie there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was, I really enjoyed that. And I was also really impressed by, in terms of all these alpha male qualities of the banter and the kino and the way you move and the way you walk and the way you sit and the way you interact and the lines and words and all of that, I felt like it was done with much more awareness and sensitivity and consciousness about how to make it a little bit more of a dance as opposed to just a steamrolling.
Uh-huh.
And I liked that.
And so there's a little more finesse to this style.
Yeah.
Okay, than just like get in there and make sure you run through this script. And
yeah.
Get these numbers. Okay.
There was more to it. And what we were doing instead was that we were taking, instead of just these canned stories that weren't true at all, we would take stories from guys' actual lives and work on just making those stories a little more fun and entertaining so you can tell this story in a short little fun way.
Okay.
And that's when what's called opinion openers were big. Hey, can I get a quick opinion? Can I get a quick female opinion? Okay. You know, that would be a pretty popular line at that time.
All right.
So I took that course and really enjoyed it and really got a lot out of it. And then I had a friend who was coming to town to take the course. So I asked Lance if I could assist on the course. And by the end of that course, I was just rolling so naturally with all of this material that, you know, there was an invitation to come back as an instructor. And I actually spent about a year and a quarter, year and a half, something like that, working as an instructor.
Wow.
With Pickup 101.
And lots of guys going through the program?
Yeah. Yeah. And it was really growing fast. And now it's really big. I mean, I don't know how huge, but it's really big. They've grown a lot.
Okay.
And it's great. You know, it was beautiful to go out at night, be with a group of guys, and be with guys who really didn't have a lot of experience interacting with women. And I remember one guy at the end of the night was just saying, I went up to this table, there were five women, I was talking and laughing and telling stories, and they were talking and laughing and having such a good time. And it was just, I was almost moved by how much he felt. Like, he just wanted women to enjoy themselves in his presence. Mm. And he was getting that, and it was great. And it was really great to see that. And it was something really awesome was being created.
I get it. Like, this was more less about kind of this kind of dark hat kind of thing, and more like these guys really have their hearts in the right place, and they're doing the best they can, and they just needed some skills to help open the door and get in there and do some relating.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. It's referred to as the pickup community or the seduction community overall, but that's just a made up name. What it really is a bunch of guys looking for answers to just how to have better relationships, how to have more fun, how to be more of themselves, and how to just feel that they can just freely, flowingly navigate this social world and ultimately have choice.
Cool.
Be able to see, there's the woman that inspires me. I feel totally great about talking to her. That's what guys wanted. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing, though. After my first year or so, I was having so much success that it was great. I was flowing, and it was natural, and you know, my students would be like, dude, that was just textbook. That was beautiful. And you know, I started asking myself, well, if it looks so good, why do I feel like crap?
Oh.
I mean, I didn't even have the distinction for it at the time, but it was an experience of all my relationships with women feel like flash paper, just gone in a second. You know, there would be attraction, we'd date a few times, you know, maybe we'd really get together and have some sexy, wild, fun times, and then it would just kind of be over. Hmm. And I also noticed that the women that I was dating, there may have been some attraction, but they weren't ultimately the women that really inspired me. And my interactions were great and fun, but they were also paper thin. Mm-hmm. And I decided to take some time off and investigate it further. But what I ended up doing was actually taking my friends who are my favorite instructors and taking my friends who are my favorite students and putting together our own little group of guys.
So you dove in even deeper.
I dove in even deeper. And I mean, we hit the ground and just started pounding, because we met every week. We called ourselves Bulletproof. That was the name of our group. And it was fun. Great guys, really pushing ourselves, looking to learn a lot. And we would have goals every month where we'd say, okay, I'm going to do this many sets, I'm going to do this many openers, this many pivots and transitions. I mean, all the technical terms. I mean, if I rattled off all the technical terms, it would probably sound like rocket science, you know?
You guys are like the special forces of the pickup community, right?
We were the Green Berets.
Okay.
We really were. And we would actually set it up where, you know, everybody had a partner for the month. It was called the PIMP program. It was Partners in Mastery of Pickup.
Okay. So you had like a wingman, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And we would have goals each month. And if we didn't meet our goals, then at the end of the month, which was our end of the month meeting at the beach, we would have to go and take a dip in the Atlantic. And so would our partner. So it was like our partner.
Accountability.
Yeah, our partner had an invested interest in seeing us do really well as well. But here's the thing, and it's funny because as I was driving here today, I was looking through my glove compartment for some chapstick, and I found this stack of note cards, 70 note cards, that have every single like body move and banter line and just packed.
Wow.
And near the end of my time with this group, I was trying to learn this entire stack of lines and moves and all kinds of stuff. And I'm a smart guy, but I just couldn't get it into my head. I mean, it was really frustrating. I just couldn't get myself to remember all this stuff. And I started to just start to realize maybe I don't want all this in my head. Maybe I don't want to do all this work. Mm-hmm. Now, right around that time, I had this week where I had just met a woman every night of the week and had an amazing adventure with all these women. And it was like, you know what? I have exactly what it is that I wanted. I'm going out. I'm having fun. I'm creating attraction. I'm having fun, wild times with all these great women. And even more than before, where I thought there was something missing, whatever I thought was missing is bigger. Like, there's more missing now.
Wow.
And
what was that realization like?
It was kind of like feeling lost. Mm-hmm. It was feeling lost. And I spent a while calling around and making a lot of calls. I mean, I remember calling some of the biggest names in the country who did what at the time, like, the term inner game hadn't really come up to the surface so much yet. But I knew that's what I was looking for. I knew in some way there's something going on in me that either there's something missing, there's an experience I'm not having, there's something I don't get. But I'm starting to realize that all that shyness that I had when I was in high school, while to some degree I'm more comfortable with that and have overcome a lot of that, but in another degree, I've just slapped layer upon layer upon layer upon layer of all of these tricks and techniques and gimmicks and moves over what's always been there. And it's still there. Mm. And I can feel it. And women can feel it. And I started to actually even notice, well, what would it be like? What would it be like for a woman to be with me? Like, if I could see myself through her eyes, what would my experience of myself be? Mm-hmm. And I wasn't even quite getting that, but I just knew that I was feeling uncomfortable with how they felt with me.
Wow.
So I spent months calling around, having conversations, looking for, you know, all kinds of stuff. What's going to have me have a deeper experience of myself? And amazingly, I was on a date with this girl, and she happened to mention the Authentic Man program to me. Now, I had heard about this a few years earlier when I was with Pickup 101, and I hadn't really given it a lot of thought. Mm-hmm. I mean, at the time, Authentic Man program, I don't know, it just sounded like driving a minibus or, you know, or a minivan. It sounded like driving a minivan or sucking on a piece of cardboard. I mean, yeah. What's interesting about that? Authentic? I don't get it. I don't get it.
Okay.
But I was in a place where I was just like, you know what? I'm open to anything right now. And I heard about those guys a while back, and it's kind of curious that this girl was bringing it up now. And I just thought, you know what? I'll give him a call.
Interesting that it came from a woman.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Yeah, it is interesting.
All right.
It is. And so I called him up, and I had a few conversations with Decker. And mm-hmm. I'd never met him before, and I said, here's what I'm looking for. You know, I want to feel more real. I want to feel more solid in myself. I just want to be able to relax. You know, even though I'd been going out to bars a lot, I never really enjoyed bars. And everything that I said I wanted, I said, can I get this from your course? He said, yeah, you can get this from my course.
Wow.
And so I signed up and I took the course. And I hated it.
And thank you for coming on the show, Gareth.
Yeah, anyway, it's been fun, and I'm going to head out now. Thanks. That's so where the journey ends.
What was the hate? Like, what was that about?
It took me a while afterwards to even realize what it was, but I was so confronted by how much this course was revealing about me to myself. And to make it worse, on the Sunday part of the course, they had this whole team of these radiant, brilliant, just goddess women come in and give me feedback about how they were experiencing me.
Right.
Well, that's no good.
This just doesn't work with my image of myself.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It was like the image that I want to have of myself, that's not working anymore. Mm. And I was really confronted.
Yeah.
And I didn't really feel like I got all that much out of the course, but there was a part of me that just kept saying, Garrison, pay attention. Hmm. And you know, I've got a big history in public speaking. It's something that I'm really good at. And I was kind of taking notes. You know, the course was sort of a little bit of a diamond in the rough at the time, because it was still early on in the evolution of the course. And so I said to Decker afterwards, if you're interested, I've got some notes for you on how you can continue to improve this course. And, you know, we started to meet and I started to go through it. And, you know, it was just hours and hours of notes. And I just started to realize how much of just a powerful core thing he really had. And by the next course, which was a month later, I had already enrolled 7 of my friends into doing the course.
I hate this fucking thing, but you guys need to check this out.
Yeah, it was weird. Like I could see where I was really holding myself back, and I could see the value of it. And it was in that course that I really got it. I mean, it was really like seeing these, first of all, just the women are, you know, a massive part of the experience. But that aside, Decker and Brian and the other guys who lead the course and all of that, what they have to bring is amazing. And we use a lot of analogies that reference the Matrix, because I have never experienced anything that has a man wake up to his real life as much as this work. Mm. And for the women, it was literally an experience of these beautiful, caring, just attractive, vibrant women, almost as if they were reaching out and holding a man's heart in their hands and saying, it's okay, you can let go.
Wow.
And what happens is that men start to see these places where they get this reflection from the women, where the men really get to see, oh, here's where I'm holding back. Or the women will say, here's where I don't feel like I can trust you. Here's where I feel like you're holding back. Here's where I feel like you have some intention or there's something you want from me. And when the men start to see that, then we work with the men on helping them release that, let go of that, move through that. And the women are a big part of that as well, literally having the man feel safe, that he can really let go and be there with them. Mm-hmm. And then the men inevitably, they come back to the women, and then the women say, oh, thank you. Now I feel like you see me. Now I feel like I trust you. And women will regularly say, now I feel my pussy when I look at you. Mm-hmm. Like I feel my pussy throbbing when you come up to me.
Mm-hmm.
And the women are that honest.
Yeah.
It's really extraordinary. But what a guy is really getting is that women overall are so sensitive and so aware that if you're feeling anxious or doubt or insecurity, or you're not breathing, women will start to wonder, why do I feel anxious right now? Why do I feel insecure? Why am I not breathing?
Oh, it's him.
And then they'll realize, oh, because of who's talking to me. So basically what it comes down to is, if women like the way they feel around you, they're going to want to be around you more. If women don't like the way they feel around you, they're not going to be around you more. And it doesn't matter what line you use, what banter you use, how much kino you use, what push-pull techniques, or you know, whether you're dressed like some sort of space Muppet, Godzilla, Elvis combo.
That's the one thing they want you to keep, though. It's like, I really feel you, and I need you to amp up the costume a little bit.
Well, I've still got it in my closet. I pull it out for parties, but generally.
And that's that difference between inner and outer game.
Yeah, thank you. So outer game is basically everything that I had learned up until AMP.
Mm-hmm.
And even things that say they're inner game, I have yet to find anything that is truly, truly inner game to the degree that AMP really takes it. But it's, you can't have one without the other. Sure, you can have outer game without inner game, but that's like having a brand new 2008 turbo red Porsche with no gas in the tank.
Mm.
You may look great, but you're not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
One of the analogies that we use is it's kind of like a tree. You know, outer game is like the leaves on the tree. They look good. It all looks great. But unless the roots are grounded and healthy and nourished, the leaves, they're never going to be what they're really designed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Beautiful. And so what is your involvement with the Authentic program at this point? What does that look like? How are you contributing?
Basically, my job is I produce all of the major products as well as the monthly CD series. What we've done, and if we have time, I'll go through this. Basically, what I love so much about this is that we have a model of authenticity where we really break it down. Where this model ends is where pickup begins. So here's how it works. The first stage of our model, it's called a holarchy. And a holarchy, it's like if you were to imagine a hierarchy, that's one thing on top of each other. But a holarchy, it starts from the center and then expands outward. So the first level is presence. We teach men about presence and what it means to be really present. And I'll tell you, until I learned this, even if I thought I knew what presence was, I was wrong. I had no clue what presence really was. And I don't know if I can do it full justice just on this recording, but when a man learns to be really present with a woman, so a woman has an experience of, wow, he is really here with me. When I just rolled my eyes, he said, hey, you just rolled your eyes. What's going on? Or when I said that thing that kind of challenged him a little bit, you know, he mentioned it. He said, hey, when you said this, what did you mean by that? Like when a woman gets that he's really paying attention, she's starting to feel a little uncomfortable. And he says, hey, are you feeling a little uncomfortable? Like when a woman gets, he's really paying attention. He's really there with her. But the other part of it is that when a man can actually see himself through her eyes and get a sense of, well, if I was her, here's how I'd be feeling with me, and actually be able to flow and dance with her on that level, then an amazing amount of attraction is created, because a woman really feels like here is a man who's really showing up. And believe it or not, it's an incredibly rare thing. Rarely do women go out and experience that. The women that we've talked to, maybe once every few months, if they go out regularly, will they actually meet a man who is really present to them. A second level of our holarchy is appreciation, where men really get what it is to appreciate a woman and having a woman feel appreciated. When a woman really feels appreciated, she can actually surrender and let go to that man. And by the way, when a woman feels that a man is present with her, it allows her to feel attraction, to just really be attracted to that man. So in the appreciation phase, men are actually learning, however it is that she is, if she's not interested in him, if she's cold, if she's angry or distant, that's all okay. You can still appreciate who she is. And when a woman starts to get that she can be however she wants to be, and you're still going to like liking her, all of a sudden she is really impressed, because that means that you're not basing your own self-worth on her responding to you in a particular way.
And what I'm getting is that what appreciation is not is, oh my gosh, you're so amazing, and I'm just appreciating like that. That's not what it's about at all.
It's not what you're talking about.
Okay.
Yeah. And thanks for that clarification.
Yeah.
Because a lot of guys think, oh, okay, if I put her on a pedestal, then she'll feel appreciated by me.
Oh.
If you put her on a pedestal, she's going to be pissed off and bored with you.
Yeah.
And I can't speak for all women, but it's actually a real turnoff.
Mm-hmm.
And then from the appreciation phase, we go into integrity. And integrity is where men learn that they can truly speak the moment. They can truly speak, here's what I'm feeling right now, and really owning that. And it doesn't need to be based on how she feels or her response or anything like that. But when a man really owns his attraction, when a man can actually feel an attraction for a woman without any need to try and get something from her, then women are amazingly drawn to that, because like I mentioned before, women are so sensitive. However it is that we're feeling in our bodies, they're going to start to feel that in their bodies. So if a man is fully feeling an attraction for a woman and fully owning that attraction without trying to get something from the woman, then she's just going to start to feel this amazing attraction. It may be his attraction, but she'll still be feeling what feels really good to her.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when women say, you'll hear women say things like, he just feels so good to be around. I don't know what it is about him, but there's just something about him. Whenever he's around, I just feel lit up or turned on.
Excellent.
That's where that actually happens.
Okay.
And then the wholeness phase is we teach men about there is nothing to get. There is nothing to do. A man can come from a place of there's nothing I need from you. There's nothing I even want from you. And would I like to co-create something with you that's sexy and fun and wild and all of that? Absolutely. But it's not based on any form of need.
I'm just feeling the difference in that, how energetically that feels of like, I'm going to get something from you. I'm going to blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then being in the place of like, I'm wholeness, everything's fine, and let's play. Let's just like, what's possible here? Yeah. And how much more inviting that feels to be in that energy.
Yeah. Even from my limited view as a man, I can get how awesome that feels to a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then the final stage is play. And play is basically where pickup starts, you know, because it's all about banter and, you know, playful push and pull and just all of the things that create attraction with women. But generally what it's missing are all these other layers underneath it. And there's just a real power in the solidity of that when men can really experience that for themselves. And for me, it goes all the way back to exactly what it was that I wanted at the very beginning of this entire journey.
Right.
You know, sometimes I look at it like a house. Speed seduction was like the antenna of the house. And then hypnosis was like the tiles on the roof. And then real social dynamics was like the attic where all the frat boys are hanging out. And then the house was pickup 101 and really just the finessing of a lot of this. And then the foundation of everything is the Authentic Man program. And that's what I've been looking for all along. And I did my entire little Lord of the Rings journey through all of this completely backwards, but it couldn't have happened any other way because literally none of this existed, you know, before any of it else. So it's been a really amazing journey, and the richness and depth and sexiness and wildness and profoundness and fun that I'm having in my life is just unparalleled to any other time before now.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So our listeners, how do they find out what's available to them? How do they try out the Authentic Man program? Uh-huh. Help us out.
Yeah, great question. Well, one of the things that we're doing, because the work that we're doing is so new, we just want guys to get our work. And one of the things that we're doing is for the very first phase of the Holarchy presence, what we've created is a 3-DVD set all on the power of presence. And we're literally giving it away for free. And the way it works is this. Our website is simply authenticmanprogram.com. And if you go to that website, it'll take you to a page. It'll show you information about it. You can order it for free. All we're doing is charging you shipping and handling. And you get a free CD that is an interview that I do with Decker every month on a new aspect of authentic living and creating what you really want with women. And if you like it, that's awesome. Stick around, and if it's not quite for you, then you can just cancel, and it costs you a super minimal amount just to get it in your mailbox and try it out and see if it's what makes a really big difference in your life. Oh, and the other thing I want to add in is that what we've also done is we've created an online, we call it our online inner circle forum. And what's great about it is that wherever you are in the world, you can log in and interact with all these other guys all over the world who are really discovering this whole new level of experience and richness and depth. And the great thing about it is that women are actually a byproduct of having an awesome life.
Right.
And all of this is about, hey, here's how you evolve as the man that you have always wanted to be. And here are all the other guys that you get to have as just your peers along this journey. One of the new things we have on our online forum is that we've got a special section that are female AMP coaches. They only have access to this little section, and you can literally ask them any question you want and they'll respond. And we just added it, and it's getting huge.
And you're not kidding that I was on there the other day, and there's guys, Australia, New Zealand, places in Europe. It's all over the place. Yeah. Everyone's getting involved and getting on there.
Yeah. And it's beautiful too, because all these guys are just feeling a brotherhood with each other because they're on this path of, I want to discover the greatest me. And guys are really starting to get that the more they discover that, the more women are starting to turn in their direction and saying, wow, who are you?
I love how you framed it that it sounds weird to say women are the byproduct of this. Maybe it's great relations or great interactions and experiences with women, but it's like, it really is. Like, I get my stuff together, going down to those deeper layers and getting more in touch with my truth and all of that. And then women, career, everything just starts to blossom. And that's why when I tell people about the program, it's like, look, it's not just about women. It's so much more than that. It's so much more potent. It's going to affect all areas of your life.
And one thing that's great about it is that one of my last loves, this just beautiful, beautiful Turkish girl, we had met, and after we had gotten together a few times, I asked her, when was the first time you knew that you wanted to have sex with me? Mm-hmm. And she said, I knew the moment I saw you that I wanted to have sex with you. Mm-hmm. I said to her, how did you know? And she just said, it's just something about you. Like you were just ready. And I was instantly turned on. Now, I'm not saying that happens every single day.
Right.
But with what I've learned, I'm getting more and more deeper layers all the time that it has so little to do with what you say. And an embodiment of this work just speaks so much more powerfully. As a matter of fact, even some of the guys who have been through the work talk about experiences they've had where they will walk into a room or a party or a bar and women will later tell them that they felt them come into the room.
Literally felt them.
Yeah.
Like energetically.
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know one woman who is, she's actually an amp. She's a female amp coach, and she was at a gathering and she literally felt tingles in her body and then just felt compelled to turn around and see who had walked into the room. Mm. And it was actually one of the amp graduates.
Sounds like a great endorsement to me.
Yeah. It's cool stuff. And, I'm really glad to be a part of this work.
Well, Garrison, I'm so glad you could come on in and share your unique story. It's been entertaining and enlightening for me. I appreciate you making the trip down here to talk to us.
Thanks, Trip.
Join us next week as we talk strength and nutrition with Rob McNamara, a human performance specialist that will take your training inside and out to a whole new level.